speaking tonight on contracts. We are under contract is the title of my sermon. Men and brethren, now hearken to me. Give me your ears. We are under contract. We have a contract obligation to fulfill. God always deals with man through covenants, contracts. His contracts have requirements, and they have penalties for failures to meet those requirements. They have promises, they have provisions, they have bonuses, and so forth. The word covenant, according to the Heritage Dictionary, means a binding agreement made by two or more parties, a contract. Our covenant with God is binding. Our covenant with God is binding on God. When you sign a contract with God, He is bound to that contract. He cannot deviate from His promise. If His contract promises you that He will be with you till the end of the age, He is bound to that. If it says that He will give you eternal life, He is bound to that provision in the contract. Whatever He has promised in His contract is binding upon Him, and we can hold Him to it. And He cannot, and will not, of course, escape any clause and any requirement that is bound upon Him by His own oath and His own contract. Our covenant with God, furthermore, is binding upon us. It is binding that we keep the contract. Now, I want you to understand that, and I want you to understand this as though you were let a major contract by a very large firm in which there would be millions of dollars in payment made if you fulfilled the contract and enormous penalties if you did not. We have such a contract with the eternal God. You cannot lightly brush aside the contract. God has His inspectors, as it were, to make sure that we are putting in to our outer space and inner space vehicle the items enumerated in the contract, and they meet all specifications. Do you understand that? We cannot put slipshod parts into that space vehicle that's going to carry us into outer space. We are the space vehicle, in case you're wondering what it is. We have got to have the particular metal and parts in us so that we will not burn up, so that we are shockproof, so that we can meet the rigid requirements of the atmospheric conditions and all the environmental conditions put upon us. And we must make this vehicle ready by the specified time. If one party breaks a contract, the other is released from his obligation, and the contract becomes null and void. Now hear me. I speak truth, and I speak something that, because it is not known or heard or listened to, is causing the devil to have free reign in the church of Jesus Christ, and is destroying itself and all others with it, and is going to result in a great apostasy. Excepting for those that will follow the contract, they will be called the remnant. Now hearken to my words. The Bible has prophesied a falling away as the world has never seen. He builds with us during the contract period. But then, the examination of the product before it is launched, and a complete failure to have arrived with a product leads to heavy penalties and a complete cancellation of the contract. And those that have met the specifications shall get the bonuses, and the missiles shall fly and fly well. If one violates the contract, anything that the other one does in the contract for that other party is pure benevolence and pure grace. God has not violated His contract. We have violated our contract. Therefore, anything He does for us in the contract is pure grace on His part. We walk around as though God owes us something, but He is not paying up. We pray and He doesn't answer, and what's the matter, and how come we don't have His power, and why don't I feel this, and how come God lets me down, and why does He do this, and why does He do that, and how come He allows wars, and how come He does this? Because we have broken the contract. Now, I submit that when one party's been faithful to a contract and the other has violently broken it over and over and over again, he is no shape to be running around with the other who is still keeping three-fourths or half the contract by pure grace and mercy to be pointing his finger at him wondering why he doesn't keep the contract. He already owes us nothing and we are liable to great penalty. We are subject already to some penalty payments. And the rest, he keeps going, hoping that we will shape up and still have the missile ready, redeeming the time, for the day is late. If anyone is outside of the contract, he has no contract. If you work for the government, building something for the government, but you are without a contract, you get no wages. You have no contract. He has no obligation to you. There is nothing, he is not going to fulfill a contract with you that you do not have with him. Am I right? You're either in the contract, under the contract, or you're not. Your name is either in the contract or it isn't. You're either in the covenant or you're not in the covenant. And you've got to be in the covenant. And you better keep the covenant contract or we're going to be in serious trouble. And the devil has opportunity because we do not keep the contract. A great many in the assembly have suffered the loss of the wife and the loss of the husband, another case, and all the children, and have suffered great backslidings, great hurts, because they did not keep the contract. We have brought great penalty payments upon ourselves. We have brought the wrath of God upon us, because we have not always kept the contract. It is not enough when the inspector comes and says, this is not the right part in this missile. This piece will not do the job. This piece over here has failed to be put in. This piece hasn't been welded together. This piece doesn't function with that piece. These pieces are not on time. These pieces do not measure right. And then the contractor cannot say, but look at these pieces. They all follow the contract, the right to the blueprint. That is not good enough. They never come and say, oh my, you have got 500 out of 600 parts that follow the contract. How marvelous. They always come and say, these parts do not meet requirements. You are expected to meet the contract. They don't come and lavish all over you because you met your agreement. that is expected. So many Christians delude themselves in thinking, oh, but I do this and this and this and this. Of course, you can't look in this little box of parts that they haven't done. They think because they have done a lot of the contract, the easy parts, the easy machinery, the easy things, therefore it's all right. You know, one bad part in a missile can cause the entire missile to fail to achieve its objective. One faulty part. And you know, one faulty part in us can trigger off other things. Do you know that? There was an example. You know, we have a lot of what you call pilot error, too. It isn't all mechanical error inside. Some of it's pilot error. There was a fighter plane that crashed before it ever took off because of somebody not following a simple procedure. It just took a couple of things to happen. This pilot got in his fighter plane, and there are in fighter planes, in all warplanes, there are warning streamers. There are pins with a long red cloth that says, warning, remove before flight. And when you pull these pins out, it arms all the different functions. It arms the guns, it arms the various pieces that would turn the equipment on they don't want on accidentally. And so you yank these pieces out, and he yanked one out of the seat, and you're on the seat, so you want to blow yourself out of the canopy. You don't want you sitting and accidentally hit something and blow yourself out, see? So he yanked this thing out, and they have a bag right behind the seat to put it in. But he didn't put it in the bag. He yanked it out, threw it over the back of the seat. You know, these young hot rod, you know, pilots, you know, they get cocky, and they think, you know, yeah, I just threw it over the back of the seat. And he poured on the coal, and away he went down the strip. He began to hear sparking behind him, because they're strapped right in tight. They can't really turn around. And they heard spark behind him, and smoke began to fill the cockpit. Sparking, flashing, fire sparking, and smoke began to fill. He didn't know what was happening. And so he had to abort. He was scared to take off. He thought he'd better abort the flight, but he'd already reached the point. There's a point of no return. There's a certain point on the strip that has a marker by it that says when you hit that point, you better take off because you're never going to stop in time to hit the barrier at the end. You take off or you're going to crash. Well, he was just about on that point, just about at that point, when he decided he better abort. It was getting worse. We go like this, and it was just filling up. And so he slammed the brakes hard because he was so forward. And he slammed the brakes so hard that when he was screeching to the halt, a tire blew. They're going very fast. The tires are kept thin for weight. Tire blew. He went off the runway, and tire dug in, flipped the plane, tore it apart, burst into flames. He got out and destroyed a $11 million airplane or whatever it was. You know what the problem was? Somebody forgot to put the dust cover on the electrical circuit box. That coupled with a warning streamer thrown over the back, the metal part of it was hitting the electrical contacts, making the spark and causing all the smoke and all the electrical fireworks. Just because some workman didn't put the dust cover on, coupled with the fact that somebody didn't put the warning streamer in a bag. Two simple things ruined an airplane. Very often, Christians are in real trouble because of real little simple things. And you can get away with throwing the warning streamer back there until somebody sometimes removes the dust cover. You can get away with that little thing, and it seems like it's no big deal until it coincides with something else. And then all of a sudden, brother, you get sparks, and you get smoke begins on you. All of a sudden, you got a problem. You have to abort your spiritual flight. You're in trouble. I used to read the TOs, as they call them, the technical orders, when I was working on the field, of all the different problems and what caused crashes and all the other type of things. And it's amazing, the little things. And as I look as a pastor, I can see all kinds of things that have caused crashes. And a lot of them seem awful trivial. A lot of pilot error, a lot of little things. Little things. I could give you a lot of experiences, but I won't. In that respect, in both respects. Now, if we have trouble with a contract, the big industrial firm of heaven gives us grace. But if we ignore the contract, we have penalties. If we continue to ignore the contract, he'll cut us off and make a new contract with someone else who will keep the contract. Many have been cut off. Man's contract with God is not an equal, mutual contract between two equal parties. There are times when men get together and they sit down and they have an equal agreement, discussion, and make a formal contract. That is not the type of contract we have with God. Ours is more like an employer-employee contract. I am the one who owns the firm. This is what I am looking for. Take it or leave it. It's a one-sided contract drafted by him. We either do it or we don't. It is what you call non-negotiable. There are a lot of people refusing to obey God, saying, but I'm going to walk with God anyway. I mean, I'm going to divorce my wife. I'm going to split the kids up. I'm going to continue to drink. But I'm never going to give up Jesus. I'm going to continue to walk with God. There is no such thing. You do not manipulate God. You don't tell him how you're going to do it or how you're going to live your life. Whenever you become unwilling to do anything, you're in trouble with God. He will put up with you in your weaknesses. He'll put up with you with your mistakes. But as soon as you become unwilling, you're in trouble. And you're headed for the bottom of the sea, like Jonah. There is no man that is going to tell God, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to walk with God. I got news for you, my friend. He's going to put you in Mount Moriah, and he's not going to let you down until you say you will. You're going to do it God's way, or you're not going to do it at all. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to end up doing everything his way. You're going to end up surrendering every single thing in your heart. If you say, I can do anything, Lord, but I will not witness, you will witness, or you're not going to make it. If you say, I'll do anything, but I will not forgive that brother, you're going to forgive that brother, or he's not going to let you go. And if you don't forgive him, you're going to backslide if you're ever going to make it, unless you're going to ask forgiveness. You are going to do what he says to do, and the contract is going to be fulfilled, or you're not going to make it. Now, we have a blood covenant contract. It's been ratified by God. In John chapter 6, in verse 51, we read these words. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Here is a covenant contract promise. The requirement is that we feed on him. We take his life into us. We make a blood covenant with him. We partake daily of the living bread, the living manna that falls. We are in union with him spiritually. It is not an intellectual thing. It is a spiritual feeding. Do you understand? It is a spiritual feeding. It is an infusion of his blood. It is a blood transfusion, spiritually speaking. Except we take his blood, we cannot have eternal life. We must make a blood covenant. We must be willing to obey him in the contract and in the taking of the communion emblems, which are only ratifications and signing of the contract idea of accepting him, to obey him and take his spiritual life into our spirits and feed upon him through his living word. Having the spirit and the word, we cannot make eternal life. Going to church will not do it. Believing in the Bible will not do it. Demons believe in the Bible. In fact, they believe in it more than most Christians do. They are very dogmatic and positive it is the Word of God. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know heaven is real and hell is real. They know they are going to the lake of fire. They understand fully and they believe in God. There are no atheists in the demonic rank. They all know God. And as one demon said to the seven sons of Sceva, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? They said, from the man of Gadarea, out of his mouth they spoke and said to Jesus, art thou come to send us into the abusos before our time, to torment us before our time? They know it's coming. They're fully aware. They have got a lot. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. Oh, that we would do more believing and more trembling. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. And the fear of man is the beginning of folly. Men fear men, but men don't fear God, is the general pattern of mankind. Pity. God's people had no nation and no church until they made a covenant contract with God. That was done at Sinai. God has made unconditional contracts, and God has made conditional contracts. God has made unconditional contracts as to Abraham. He said that in Abraham, he said, I will make of you a great nation. There was no ifs about it. You are my friend, and I'm going to make you a great nation. In thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. Now they had a chance under Moses coming into to go into the promised land and to fulfill that contract. But they muffed it and caused Moses to muff it. You know it was their fault that Moses muffed it? That's right. They caused their shepherd to muff it. They had a chance under Joshua. Much was accomplished under Joshua. They came into the land and they possessed it. But you cannot, and they became a rather great nation. But you cannot say that in them all families of the earth was blessed. The first part was accomplished under Samuel. They were strengthened under Samuel and became a greater nation. They were strengthened more under David and became a greater nation. They were strengthened more under Solomon and became a greater nation. Until they became at that time the greatest nation on earth. There was no nation greater. I mean, Babylon, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Egypt, you can name it. There was no nation greater than Israel at that time in history. But they did not accomplish yet the last part of the provision, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. They had a chance under Jesus Christ. If they all would have accepted him, they could have had the millennium at that time. He would have worked for them nationally, and he would have been the judge at that time, like Ehud and Samuel and Samson and others before them, who would deliver them from their enemies. He would deliver them from Rome, and they would have had the prophecies of Joel poured out upon them. But they rejected him. They did not buy and sign the contract. The contract shall be fulfilled in the millennium. Why in the millennium? Then they will be willing to follow the contract. So why would they be willing then? He has a little secret weapon called the Battle of Armageddon. He's going to let everything be stripped from them that they have been building. He first gives the nation back to them, and then he allows it to build and then take care of it, and they water it, and then he protects it when all the rest of the world's in the plagues. And he finally lets the whole thing be lost until only got a half a city left and there's no way out. Only then do they become willing. Many Christians are like that. They will not follow God until they've lost almost everything. You know, we have counselors in this church. And I'm sure the elders and counselors will say amen. We have had so many occasions when people have lost their Judea, they have lost half of the city. They've lost their wife and their children. They're down to the last, but ready to go under. And then they can bounce to the Lord and say, I'll do whatever he wants me to do. It is a little bit late, you know. A little bit late. Not too late for God, but a little bit late. He said, because the land before the enemy was as a Garden of Eden. Behind them was a desolate wilderness. What God has blessed in your life and has made you a fruitful garden. And then the devil comes in, and as he comes down like a cloud to cover the land, as he goes, he takes away, he destroys everything that God has built, and he leaves a desolation behind him. And when a person is about down and out, he finally says, okay, I surrender. It's kind of like a man going to get robbed, and he's got a lot of money on him. And he lets the person, he refuses to give the money up. He lets the person beat him almost to death, and then surrenders the money. If you're going to do that, you might as well spend the money when you're still healthy. Well, if you're going to turn to God, you might as well turn to Him when you're still healthy, before you get beat all to pieces by the devil. The big MGM hotel in Las Vegas put fire extinguishers in every single room after the big fire. We better wake up. Then they will be able to keep the contract. And do you know why they will be able in the millennium? One, they'll be willing. And two, they'll have governors that have returned from heaven who will have right perspectives, who are going to rule with a rod of iron. No hanky-panky in our government then, my friend. No Life magazines and TV in the prison houses. Read the other day, the prison went and did something like $500,000 or so, or $250,000 worth of damage, so they restricted their TV time. That'll show them. Really getting rough on them. Yeah. I would say to them, you mess it up all you want to, you're going to live in it. This is your home. You beat it up all you want. That's what you're going to live in. We're not going to fix one thing you wreck. I'll go on a hunger strike. Go ahead. Go on a hunger strike till you die. It'll save us all money. Get as hungry as you want. It's your privilege. We put it out. You don't want it, don't eat it. Makes no difference to us. That's the way to handle them, see. That's mamby-pamby. Drag them in and give them blood transfusions, you know. Keep them alive. Ridiculous. It's going to be different in the millennium. The rule with a rod of iron. You either follow God or that's it. My friend, I think it's about time that we begin to say we better follow God or that's it. The church can't always put up with everybody who's always dragging their feet. Always critical, always complaining, always doubting, always got one left foot out in the gutter and one right hand in the horse racing tail over the hill. Got one foot all over here in the honky-tonk, one ear bent to the rock and roll, and the other one to sweet Jesus. We had better decide whose side we are on. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. There was an unconditional contract to Israel through Samuel. Now, God said, I will plant them, and they shall move no more. He's going to plant Israel someday, and they're going to move no more. There was an unconditional contract made to Israel through Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to make a new contract. They broke the old contract, the old covenant. I'm going to make a new contract for them, a new covenant. He said, with my new covenant, one of the things is I'm going to put my laws in their hearts. And they will do it. When I put it in stone, they broke it. Now I'm going to put it in their hearts. They'll want to do it. They'll delight to. In each of these contracts I read to you, God said explicitly, or in the first case, a couple of places by implication, He said in each case, I will, seven times. I will, I will, I will. Seven times in each of these three contracts. But now some contracts were conditional. And if you will not, then I will not. Some contracts he makes with us are conditional. Sometimes he speaks to us and says, if you will do this, if you will seek my face, if you will enter into my presence, if you will believe me, if you will pray, if you will do what I've asked you to do, then I will do these things. And we're trying to hold him to those contracts, but not keeping the ifs, not keeping our part. They are conditional contracts. They will not happen unless we keep our part of the contract. What God has promised us will not come to pass if it is a conditional contract. And most of them are. The unconditional contracts are contracts made on the basis of foreknowledge. The conditional contracts are those made on promises to you if you will do what God says as a free moral agent, as an individual. To Israel at Mount Sinai, God said, if you will obey my voice indeed, not in theory, not in braggadocio, not saying you will, not saying you are. You know, you ever tell somebody, do this, they say, I am. Hurry up, I am. Remember when your kids say that when they're not? Hurry, I am. Come on, I am. That's why some of us are doing it. Quit hitting that. I'm not. God said to Israel at Sinai, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Amen. To Israel, God made a conditional covenant concerning blessings for keeping the contract and cursings for defaulting in the contract. Now, Israel did not enter the promised land in the contract, concerning the contract, until they kept the contract. They took Jericho under the contract. They could not take Ai until they followed the contract. One man prohibited them from getting the provision of the contract because it was a national contract. God makes some contracts concerning the individual and some concerning the church or the nation. Now, this is why God will bring his church into the unity of the faith. He has given us a contract for the church. And we hold each other back if we do not follow the contract. He must, as his scripture says, bring us all into the unity of the faith in order to keep a contract to his church. Now, I know that a lot of preachers and Christians say, oh, I don't really think we're going to all come into the unity of the faith. I mean, not really in Acts. I mean, you know, yeah, I don't believe everybody is going to all believe the same about all these things. Well, then you are calling God a liar. And then I say unto you, let God be true and let you be a liar. He said, until we all come unto the unity of the faith. You know what that means? Let me explain what that means. That means until we all come into the unity of the faith. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything different than that. It doesn't make any difference. You say, well, I can hardly believe that. Well, it's pretty hard to believe 20, 30, 40 years ago, too, that Episcopalians would be speaking in tongues and Catholics. That's pretty hard to believe. That's why I like believing dogs will sing in the Spirit. They call it the devil. Why would they do it? But if God says they will, they will. Amen. And that settles it. Now, you say, everyone? No, he has the other provision. It's called the great apostasy. And this is also the reason for the great apostasy. Everyone will follow the contract and the wrap-up of the ages to the contract given to the church, his church. We all will finally fulfill the contract in all points, or we will be part of the great apostasy. one or the other. God is no respecter of persons. If a prophet of God like Balaam, and a king of God like Saul's, and a companion worker of Paul's like Demas, and an apostle like Judas all fell, and who are we individually to think that we could never fall like with some of God's special favorites? The great apostasy, many stars be taken by the tail of the dragon and cast to the earth. Many saints who shine like in the firmament of heaven, bright lights cast to the earth. There have already been many who have fallen, who have once shone as stars in the heavens. My friend, is coming in the last days. You're going to see charismatic churches and non-charismatic. You're going to see a falling away like the world has never seen. Right now, I am seeing a super speed up in the church of Laodicea. The church are becoming Laodiceans almost like overnight. You know how the liberals, like almost like somebody just turned the switch and everybody all of a sudden was a liberal? Well, that's what's happening in the churches. Ministers, every month goes by, I hear of a couple more churches that they're losing their people. The people are accusing, lying, attacking them, and everybody else is believing everything they tell them. We are moving into Laodicea, and we're moving fast. Everybody's going to be totally submitted, or they are going to fight. They're going to find something, and the devil's going to take advantage of them. We're either going to follow God's covenant, or he's going to drag you down. You're going to, marriages are breaking up thick and fast in the churches of Jesus Christ. Community Chapel not long ago began to say, we have got to solve, get our people more protected before they haul off and marry one another. Get too many people wildly in love and they want to dash together and have a good TV Hollywood marriage real fast because they are so much in love that nobody else in the whole world has anything as good as theirs. It's born in heaven and the Holy Ghost is upon it and they're going to have the most glorious time ever. And before they ever get to the altar, they've split up and been a big fight. And those that make it to the altar split up afterwards. We've said, okay, 6 months waiting time. I just read the other day the Catholic Church is now making a national effort to make the people wait 6 months before, and with training before they ever get into a marriage, trying to stem the constant breakup of marriages. We are living in a time when marriages are breaking up, churches are breaking up, families are breaking up. This is the age of division. The devil is working hard because people will not follow the contract. They don't care about the marriage contract, doesn't mean a dime. Get tired of them, throw them overboard to the sharks and run off and let the kids be divided up. We got to do better than that, my friend. Stand there and make a covenant before God and everybody till death do we part, for better or for worse. Next thing you know, say, I'm bored with you. Goodbye. You can have Jimmy and I'll take Susan. Away we go. Got to do better than that. Councils get together and try to wear out 12 good men trying to get two people to walk with God. Well, and then this person, then they fuss at that person, and they won't do this. And then he hit me with a blanket, and so I did this, and then he said this, and so then I said that, and then he made me mad. And every week it's the same old thing. Fight, argue, petty. They refuse to obey God and submit and walk like Jesus Christ. We just can't make it together. You can make it together. You just won't make it together. Refuse. They cannot tell me that two people, spirit-filled, in union with God, in heavenly places, in the spirit, following the word of God, denying themselves, sold out, dead to self and alive unto God, on fire for Jesus Christ, have to treat each other like the devil and can't get along with one another. That's impossible. That's not what happens. They're yielding to the pit of hell, slamming each other by demonic spirits. And then saying, somehow we can't make it with each other. No wonder the devil is right there. I warn you, my friend. God showed me that one time when I was before God. And I said, oh, God, what's the matter? What are we going to do with these people? They seem to struggle and try and try and try, and they can't seem to make it with one another. What do we do with them? Do we let them separate, or do we not? They go, they wear 12 men out, and they can't seem to make it. And the Lord finally revealed it to me. The problem is they're unwilling to make it. They're unwilling to make it. They refuse to make it go. They're always fussing at each other, but they refuse to be Christ-like, benevolent, give in, and make it go and do their part. That's the truth. It's easy to blame the other one. But there's no way two people can both be loving and hating each other at the same time. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. There comes a time when there's going to be a great apostasy for everyone who is not done according to the contract. Now, God has... I noticed something else. I noticed that God is beginning to quit striving with Laodiceans at Community Chapel. He's about all done with them. But all done with them. You're going to sit there and have criticalness and continue to disobey. You're just about all washed up. And what happens in every case that I know of, in cases like that, they all go into deception. They go into deception. I have it verified on at least two accounts now that on the main ones, so to speak, that have left the assembly with their attitudes and so forth, now do not agree with us anymore on the unfolding revelation of God. They turn back. They also don't agree with us on Pentecostalism. It's now a cult and a heresy, and on several other points as well. My friend, I tell you, you only can follow, you begin to fall away and do not follow God. They're changing the theology in a number of significant points. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Be careful. I think that I had better finish my message on Sunday morning. I want to continue in the book of Judges, and I want to continue talking about the various contracts. God has made many contracts. National contracts, individual contracts. Sunday morning, I will continue to be speaking on contracts. We are under the contract. If we can hear this, we're going to be safe. If we will keep the contract. You know, you can get away with breaking the contract until they come to check over the merchandise. There's a time allotted to you to do a job, and then comes the time and the day of reckoning. And no one will miss that day of reckoning in their life. There are some checks along the way. And then comes the final check. Comes the final date of the contract. You've either got it produced or you don't. You can be late in the contract and it won't cut you off. But when you don't make the final date, you're not going to make it. Your missile won't fly. You'll be left for the Antichrist government. Would you stand, please? Our Father, I pray that this message tonight might be sobering. I pray, Lord, that it might convict. I pray, Lord, that it will not be taken as bullying, but from a spirit of one who loves them, God Himself through His servant who loves them. Lord, You speak to us this way because You love us, and desperately You are trying to waken our ears. Because, Lord, Your people from the beginning of time have been sleepy. They have lied to themselves and had a deceitful heart, have fooled themselves thinking that they were good shape with God because they had priests and temples and sacrifices and feasts, and all the while broke the contract. Your churches are dead because they're breaking the contract. Yet they're singing, reading the Lord's Prayer, doing all the things, having a form thereof, but denying the power thereof. Lord, we need the power thereof of the gospel. These signs are to follow them that believe. We need Your signs. But Lord, Your signs must follow people that love You and obey the contract. We thank You for the new contract. We ask You, Lord, that You help us to keep it. In the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every one that's here tonight. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon them, that You will keep them safe in the covenant. Now, I'll make a break to say this. There's somebody tonight that's on my heart that's in the valley of decision. They've gone through a great trouble, great struggle, great trial, and the cliff hanging. The devil has battled and raged against them. Would you pray for this all? Anyone else tonight that has anyone that is hanging in the balance, I want you to raise your hand before God in behalf of that one. I want us all to join together for each of these.
that have had their hands raised for these individuals that are out there.